You guys had all them little voices going on at different times and different parts. You just sounded marvelous. Just absolute. Just one. I get voices in my head a lot too, though. Doesn't sound like yours, though. That was powerful. That was so powerful.
Those voices don't get a vote.
No, those voices. Yeah, if you're ever in a crowded elevator and you want to have a little breathing space, just plug up your ears and say, "Now, all of you, just be quiet for one moment. I can only listen to one voice at a time." Everybody just eases away. Not that I've ever done that. Right? Ay. So, not in this church, but have you ever been to church where it's been boring? That wasn't a joke. You're not supposed to laugh on that. Sometimes the last thing you expect to happen is for something to happen when you come to church. I think in Capernaum, when the people showed up, the last thing they thought was going to happen was that something was going to happen, and yet something happened. And we say, wow, something happened there. And then we try to figure out how does that work in our church today? Because in that passage that we had, that Andrea read for us, in that passage, it talked about a demon, talked about an evil spirit. And sometimes when we're thinking about demon possession now, we're not too sure. How does demon possession work today? We understand that back 2,000 years ago it was, but you know, we're so much more sophisticated. All right, we would just that was primitive. Now, when you talk about demons, it sounds like the stuff out of a Class B movie or something like that. But not believing in demons has hardly eradicated evil from the world. There is still evil in the world. Whatever name, whatever label we want to put on it, it still exists. It's still out there. And there are times when it has control. And so many times what we want to do is we always want to be able to separate that. You ever notice that? You ever have a group of people you want to just say, well, they're just evil? All right? You know how you make the classifications, you know? These people are good, these people are evil, and we split them. We split them. But this is not an us and them passage. Because the truth of the matter is there is evil everywhere. Everywhere. There isn't just evil between this country and not that country. No, there is evil in every country. There's evil in our country. There's evil in our communities. There's evil in churches. This took place in church. Where do the demons live? In church. If you've ever served on a board, you know I'm speaking truth. That's where the demons were. They were in church. They were in the church. So many times people want to paint Christians. We know the truth of this. People try to paint Christians as sometimes as being self-righteous hypocrites, holier than thou. They don't understand that we're coming in here weeping and lamenting. We totally relate with Paul in Romans 8 when he says, Romans 9, where he says, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Who will save me, wretched man that I am? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who's capable of casting out the devil that we all wrestle with. We all wrestle with that thought of evil. It's not just on our news and on our computers and in the pain. It's within our own hearts. So many times, sometimes we want it to be the way it was here in this Bible passage. We come to Jesus and we know that there is evil. We know that there's a need for transformation. There's a need for forgiveness. And we come here. We come here. And here we come. And we are fed here. We are fed here the food of forgiveness and transformation. We are fed by the scriptures that we hear about the power of hope. We are fed every time we gather in community that we are not alone. That's why we come here. That's why we gather, to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, made alive to us in bread and cup, made to alive to us through the Word of God, and made alive to us through the fellowship and the community of the Holy Spirit. We're not struggling alone, but we are struggling in community. In our Bible passage, the man with the demon was in a community of faith. He wasn't alone. Jesus is. So many times, you know, we want that instant cure. We wish it could be just the way it was when Jesus did that. And we come to Jesus, and we come to Jesus, and we have this evil, we have this sin, we have the need for forgiveness, the need for transformation, and we want it to just all go away all at once. Why? Well, we're tired. We're exhausted. We're a little bit concerned that the battle's not going as well as it should. But it's also because sometimes we want to excuse ourselves from the discipline that God requires of us to make the changes necessary in order to be with God's help, but to take the discipline necessary to make the changes in our life that we can make a more productive decision, make a better choice. Understand that we are responsible for our own choices, nobody else. Have you ever noticed how we like to do that? Blame it on somebody else? Right now, I could do that. There's a strong temptation right now. Diana's out of the sanctuary. Andreas isn't here. Could be my choice. Swear you all, because I don't trust you guys, though. I know. But have you ever noticed that? The very beginning of the Bible, it started. Remember? Remember, God, what have you done? Remember, he comes to Adam and Eve. What have you guys done? I leave you alone for 2 seconds. And what happened? There's apples missing. The serpent deceiveth me, I do believe. Did that work? In other words, they were saying the devil made me do it. Did that work? No, it didn't work then. It isn't going to work now. But have you ever noticed how you want to be able to do that? It wasn't me. It was the evil that was within me. Uh-huh. Guess what? The good that is in you, the Christ that is in you, is way more powerful than the evil. All right? That's just the way it is. But that evil was there. And the only way. That's why sometimes Jesus got so frustrated with the religious leaders. Do you ever notice that? When he's talking to the tax collectors and all the other sinners, he seems to have a much more softer tone about it. But when he's talking to the religious leaders, his voice seems to develop an edge because they have a harder time recognizing that what? That they need grace. They are so sure of their works righteousness, so sure of their self-righteousness. And Jesus is trying to help them understand, you're carrying just as much evil in your life, just as much evil in your heart. And the only way you're going to experience wholeness and healing is if you allow me to cast it out. And the religious leaders are going, I don't know what he's talking about. He must be talking about Rick, because he ain't talking about me. I'm all right. We always doing that, looking at somebody else. No. Every Sunday we gather here, Jesus is willing to meet with us, to not allow that evil to separate us, but is willing to cast that evil out so that we can be the creatures, be the children that God created us to be, to experience that gift of wholeness that God wants us all to have. That's what brings us here, is that hope of healing. Do you remember in Hunger Games, the movie and the book and all that series, remember Katniss? And she's going to end up leading a rebellion, but she doesn't know it yet. But the people in power, they recognize it. And people are saying, what are you worried about this little teenage girl and her bow and arrow for? Because she's bringing hope. And a little bit of hope is fine. But a lot of hope is dangerous. It can be dangerous. So many times we're living in a world that seems to be evil everywhere, and people in power are evil, and we forget. We forget. What amazed the people in that passage? It was his authority. It was the authority of Jesus. They knew the Roman government had the power. They knew that the Pharisees had religious power. They knew that power existed, economic power with the wealth. They knew power was elsewhere, but where was authority? Authority was with Jesus. And time again, throughout human history, we see people who open their lives before the Lord have that same authority. Some of you remember this years ago. South Africa, remember that? The apartheid government had power. who had authority? A man in a prison named Nelson Mandela. It was his voice the people listened and responded to. It's not. Dictators may have power because they have an army, but they can't touch the heart and the lives of people. The one who has authority, the one who gives hope, the one who gives healing. That's what Jesus does there. That's what Jesus does here. And every Sunday when we gather together in community, we're reminded. That's why our presence is so important. We're here not always because we get something out of it. Oh, I didn't get anything out of church. What did you bring? All right? Because when I read the Bible, it ain't about what you take out. It's about what you bring in. What did you bring? And you bring in support, and you bring in fellowship, and you bring in reminding people. Your presence reminds people they're not alone. And they feel a little bit better about it. We come because of what I said. We have the food here that brings us hope and healing. We hear the word of the Lord, not to judge us and condemn us, but to remind us of the truth and the power of God's grace. We are empowered in the sanctuary of God so we can go out to the world of God to bring people who are shuttered and chained in sin and hopelessness, and we share with them the gospel, the true word, a word that brings hope and healing to us all. That's the authority of Jesus Christ, to go out into the world where evil dwells, to bring hope and healing to all. Amen.